That's good news. That's wonderful news. We are so glad and we are delighted that God has seen fit in His all-wise providence to allow the wheels of our lives to roll on just a little while longer. We are glad that He gave us the presence of mind to come together on this, the Lord's Day, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. There are those who, all over the world, did not make it to this day. God called them out on the yesterday. But we're glad that we had the presence of mind to come together that we might thank Him and that we might worship Him in spirit and in truth. Jesus gave the mandate to His apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We have had a glorious, glorious weekend. Did you hear what I said? No. You, some of you were sleeping. You missed it. We have had. Not you, y'all, we have had a glorious weekend. Mm-mm. And didn't it taste good? Mm-mm. Didn't it taste good? Yes, we got first the information, the joy juice from our Heavenly Father. And I hear that the sister did a marvelous work. Pardon my colloquialism, but you all may be more than what you have become. You're just touching the tip of the iceberg. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Sisters, I trust that God bless every one of you that's here today to have been present yesterday to enjoy the blessings that He sent down, the 3201, and did a major work on Sister Phyllis Brown. Day and night, with me doing the vacuuming. And she on the computer, or she somewhere reading the Bible. And as a gospel preacher, what can you say? Wait a minute, you got to put it in the hall. He comes first. He comes first. And the bubble was still bouncing as we came by after the activities on yesterday. Brother Brown, Brother Lauren Brown, and Brother Charles Brown. You all know Brother Charles Brown, don't you? That's my younger brother. He's here, and he bought a load from Rochester, New York. And some of them, and mostly, maybe all of them, you didn't have anybody to go back from Rochester yesterday, did you? All of them are still here this morning. So excited yesterday, they didn't want to go home. If we could feed them, we might keep them around here. Praise God. But we're delighted that God has watched over us and blessed us to enjoy being sons and daughters of God. It's amazing how you've taught people, you've encouraged people, and they don't want to obey the gospel. That's amazing. This is something that God designed. He sent His Son to provide it. So you know it must be valuable and it must be mighty good if you have any good, if you have your all your togetherness. Trying to find a way to put that. Now this morning I understand, and it didn't dawn on me until just a few minutes ago when I saw the brothers working to take up the Sunday school offering, that our next service is going to be before 6 o'clock. Next service this day is going to be at 2:30. So we want to share those of you who may have forgotten that. So that means I don't have as much time as I usually have. But we don't mind that, do we? Well, look out. Look out, please. An invitation from God. An invitation from God. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. I believe it's chapter 28. Well, let me see what my Bible, what my notes say. Chapter 28. But my notes say chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And the verse, Matthew chapter 11. And the verse is 28. But we may go back to the first one I gave you. Jesus is on planet Earth. He's been sent down into the world to provide a way for man to hear, believe, receive, and obey his message so that God might save them, and when they leave this planet Earth, heaven will be their home. It'll be our home as well if we obey our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all you that labor and are what? Heavy laden. And God says, not I might. There's a good possibility I will. God says, I will give you. Is that in your Bible? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. I am meek and lowly in heart. That you shall find rest unto your souls. Why? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. An invitation from God. And notice he says, I want everybody to come. Come unto me all, you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. 2 Kings chapter 4, you might want to read this at your leisure. The first 7 verses. Even when we have nothing from our perspective, God still wants all of us. All of us. What do you need? What do you have? Think about it. If you're saved, you are a child of God. That's good news. God has promised to hear our prayers in Jeremiah, for those of you taking notes, chapter 33 and verse 3. He says, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not, or which you don't know about. God has promised to answer our prayers. Matthew chapter 7, commencing with verse 7. It's in red writing. Ask. And notice what the next few verses, few words. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Shouting news, isn't it? Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or, what man is there of you, whom if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or, he's making a point here. Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then,
If you then have that much sense, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Isn't he making a point? How much more shall your heavenly Father, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? I've already preached my first sermon. Did you get what we've covered so far? What God is willing to do? God is willing to give. He wants to give. He's looking forward to giving. But he is looking for faithful children. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. Wow. In glory by Christ Jesus, his Son. You may look at your problems and they may look so big. You may look at your possessions and they look so small. Yet, we often fail to factor God into the equation. So he places us in situations where our faith in him, if you want to make progress, must be expanded. That's good news. God expands our faith. But he doesn't make us if we let him. He expands our faith. Take this text down. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings. That's in your Bible. 2 Kings chapter 4. Now there cried, verse 1, for there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elisha, God's servant, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did reverence or did fear God, the Lord. And the creditor, they had him back there, is come to take unto him my two sons. Since I can't get the money, I'll take your children to be bondmen. Is that in your Bible? You following me? And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in your house? Tell me what you have to give. You're looking for something. Tell me what you have to give in your house. And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything. In other words, I don't have anything in the house except a pot of oil. Then he said, the servant of God said, go, borrow, and this, yeah, I know, Sandy Lane, you probably know where I'm going, don't you? Go, borrow thee vessels. Watch this. Go, bury thee vessels abroad of all your neighbors. Go to your neighbors and ask them, I want to borrow some of your vessels. Your empty vessels, as many as I can get. Borrow not a few. Don't go asking for one. Since you're going to borrow, make it good. And when thou art come in to your house, shut the door upon thee and upon your two sons, or upon your sons. And then pour out all into vessels. Your Bible says, shalt pour out into all those vessels that you gather up from your neighbors, and thou shalt set aside each one that you fill up, set it aside, and get the other one, and fill up, set it aside.
In this case, you notice she doesn't ask him a second time. And she doesn't argue with him. What do you mean? No, just follow instructions. When God gives us instructions, just follow those instructions. When he gives us laws, follow those instructions. So she went. Isn't that wonderful? She don't mind following instructions. She's asking for help. He's telling her what to do. So she went from him, shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured. So she went out, borrowed the vessels, brought them to the house, locked up the doors, and her sons brought them to her. That's the latter part of verse 5. And it came to pass when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel. And he said to his mother, there is no more vessels. There is not a vessel more. And the oil was still in whatever she was pouring it out of. There was still some more oil. So she had enough oil to fill up all the vessels that she was able to get to borrow from her neighbors. Then she came and told the man of God who had told her to do that, verse 7, and said, he said to her, do what? Go sell the oil, pay your debt. Isn't that beautiful? Go sell the oil, pay your debt, and live thou and your children on the leftovers. We serve an awesome God. And it fell on that day that Elisha passed into another place. Oh, church, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread with her. And this is another case, so you can read that yourself. But she got what she needed. And her sons, the family members, worked together. The family members work together. Those of us who are in the house of God and been added to his family, we are to be what? Workers together. And you see how smooth it goes when we work together? Good things can come when we work together. God has promised to meet all of our needs. Put in your notes Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. And also Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 and 34. Read it. But my God shall do what? Supply all your need. Now watch this. God shall apply all your needs. According to what? According to his riches. Not according to your pocketbook. According to his riches. Ooh. You may look at your problems and they may look so large. You may look at your possessions and they look so small. Yet, we often fail to factor God into the equation. So he places us in situations where our faith in him, if you're going to achieve, must be expanded. God, when we study the Word of God from the human perspective, we say God, as God, he goes out of his way to help us do his will, because he wants to bring us to live with him forever. Mm-mm. We often fail to factor God into the equation. So he places us in situations where we must be expanded in our faith. He expands our faith. Sometimes publicly. 2 Kings chapter 4. want to encourage you to read it, verses 1 at least to verse 8. The widow was told what to do. Don't be lazy. Borrow gold, borrow vessels from your neighbors. Empty vessels. As many as you can get. He didn't put a limit on it. As many as you can get. What are you saying? What are you saying, preacher? He didn't put a limit on how many vessels she could bring. From all your neighbors. You see, God is not stingy. How do you suppose she explained why she wanted the vessels? Because he didn't tell her ahead of time. He just told her, follow instructions. What should we do? What she did. Follow instructions. Hello? Follow instructions. Don't have, well, I don't know if I can. Follow instructions. Well, what are you going to? Follow instructions. The Holy Spirit, from our human perspective, we kind of alike. We're kind of like that lady. We want to ask questions. Well, now, I don't see how I can do that. Well, I don't know, child. I know he said it, but no. Get I out of the way. Get I out of the way. And do the will of God. He gave her no explanation to give to her neighbors. Don't ask God why. What God tells us to do, just do it. Borrow whatever you need to borrow. See whoever you need to go see. To follow our Heavenly Father's, our Heavenly Father instructions. She just says, I'm broke. He says, you're broke. Borrow from your neighbors. My God. My God. He is about meeting needs. Why do you think he gave us the greatest example that he's about meeting needs that we can't satisfy? He sent his only begotten son. He didn't send one of the angels. He sent his only begotten son to do what he wanted done. I don't know how he's going to do it. She didn't ask any questions. She just did what she was instructed to do after she had shared what her situation is. We don't know everything that God is going to do in our lives. We don't know how he's going to challenge situations that we encounter. No matter what it is, sickness, just lost my job, a loved one is sick, do the right thing, follow God, be right, talk to him. We are not told in this text what she said. So we don't even know what she said or what her son said. All she knows is they brought back some empty vessels. That has helped her solve the problem. Because the giver of the instructions knows. The giver of our instruction knows what's best for us. Don't ask questions. Do. Well, you see, I want to see how. No. That's simply excuses for non-performance. God does the same in our lives. We talk about how we love the Lord, and many times as we act, we discover I'm just bumping my gum and making noise.
You never know who the Lord is using to be helpers one of another. Let us resolve to let God have His way in our lives. Let God understand. Let God know by how we respond to His instructions or His mandates. Our lives are billboards advertising the grace, the blessings, and the power of our God to a lost, unsaved world. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, for we are his workmanship. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should participate in them. Your Bible says that we should walk in them. Faith. We can better understand what the Bible is saying when it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why? Because we don't see no sense in some of the things that He tells us to do. Many people, thousands all over the world, this day, go to some church, and they were told to come to the auditorium, to the whatever they call the front of the building where the preacher is, and they say a prayer for them, and they go away thinking that they have a relationship with God, all because a prayer has been said, or they say a prayer. And we don't have one person in the Bible that the apostles told to go and pray a prayer that you might be saved. First time the gospel was preached on planet Earth is in Acts chapter 2. And when Peter preached to that motley crowd, thousands of people heard his voice. He made a point that shocked them, because they helped to put Jesus on the cross. This is 40 days later. Peter told that crowd, you know what he did. God hath made that same Jesus both Lord and Christ. When that crowd of Jews heard this message from Peter, the Bible says they were pricked, they were shocked in their hearts. They got scared. You mean He's alive? That was Jesus? Our parents taught us about Jesus. We've been looking for Jesus. We've been waiting to hear that He's here. We killed Him. Then they said to Peter, what must we do? The Holy Spirit had him answered and gave it to Peter. Tell him to repent and be baptized. Never mentions tell them to pray that God might save them. Are you still on the line? Faith moved in that widow's heart. He told her what to do, and the Bible does not indicate anywhere where she asked, what you mean by going to my neighbor? I don't want everybody to know my situation. She followed instructions. Jesus told His apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Not he that asketh questions shall believe it, shall receive and be baptized. She borrowed the vessels, followed instructions, and had more money left over. After she had paid her bills, live on that part. Live on the rest of it. She knew not what was going to happen, but she followed instructions. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, follow instructions. Don't make up your own laws. You don't have a heaven to send anybody to. You don't have a hell to send anyone to. But we read about both of them that God has. God has a heaven and a hell. God knows what he's doing. He knows that he doesn't want hard-headed people in heaven. He doesn't want disobedient people with him and his family in heaven. So he has a place for them. Ladies and gentlemen, make your calling and election sure. Anything the apostles didn't preach, don't you preach it. Anything the apostles didn't preach, don't you obey it. On this side, ditto. On this group, ditto. If the apostles didn't preach it, God didn't send it down. Because you remember that Jesus told his apostles on his last day on planet Earth, yes, I want you to go into all the world and preach my gospel, but not now. Go first to Jerusalem and wait until you are endowed with the Holy Spirit that will guide you into all truth and will bring everything that I've taught you to your remembrance. I want it to be right when you go carrying my message. Make sure you believe that you're saved. Make sure you're following the biblical example. Because this, we read about two books being open at the judgment. God's book and your book, my book. And guess what? If they don't respond, he's not going to throw this one away. Well, as we wind up, God, those apostles, as well as the crowd, they found out, they learned that God is all powerful and able to meet every need. This woman found out about it in life on earth, but she may have ended her life going to glory. Where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? Have you received your instructions from your Bible? Or you just listened to the preacher and just said he's supposed to be preaching the word, and that's true. But you want to check behind all preachers. All preachers. Who does all leave out? That wraps up all preachers, including this one. You need to know, when you're talking about your eternal destiny, you need to know what God has said for you to become an adopted child of his. Because he gives us strict instructions about what's going to happen in eternity. Time is gone. Now it's eternity. And he gives us specific instructions. The punishment, we can guess that a punishment might not be so severe if God had not given us instructions ahead of time. But there's no point in drooling or arguing over that, because he has given us instructions. He has sent his son from glory to die for us. He has had people to tell us. When I say people, I'm talking about the apostles, to tell us what thus saith the word of God. So why would you accept something else that The apostles didn't establish. That means that Jesus didn't command it. That means that the Holy Spirit didn't come with it. And that means that God didn't send that message. Do what we can read. Make your calling and election sure. And sometimes we make some strange decisions, even when we know what the truth is. Because he said, well, let me think about it. What do you think about? You've read Acts chapter 2, perhaps. The same day that motley crowd heard Peter preach the gospel sermon for the first time on planet Earth, the Bible says almost 3,000 people obeyed the gospel that day. Now, I don't want to think about it. I realize that I'm not saved by Jesus Christ. I'm not a part of his family. I have not been adopted by him. I have not followed his instructions. Trust God. Trust God for everything. God does things in a big way. It is he who has blessed us to live this long, all because of the grace of God. And we trust that he will keep on letting us live. Do his will. Do his will. Now, if you can't read it in your Bible, pardon my colloquialism, it's not of God. God is going to keep all of his promises. Not a single word in the promises of God fails. Not a single word. God will do everything he has promised to do. For those of you taking notes, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18, and verses 24, chapter 24 and verse 25. The limit of God's provisions. The oil flowed. The oil, well, this widow, flowed until all the vessels were full. She had enough and to spare. The limit of God's provisions are always enough. When the day was gone, every vessel was filled to the full. There was no limit on the amount of oil. Only limit was on the number of vessels. God's provisions knew no limits because there was still oil in the pitcher. And this family and this church, God is able, listen carefully, God is able to meet every need in his family. He is able to move every mountain, solve every problem, and ready to give all that you make room for in your life. That's what he's willing to fill, all that space. And when his space runs out in your life, he doesn't make you. He doesn't force you. There is nothing God cannot do, but there are some things he won't do. Lord, help us. Where are you this morning in your relationship to God? Are you in the church that Peter preached about? Peter preached God's gospel for the first time in Acts chapter 2. The Lord's church was established in Acts chapter 2. Now, if you are someplace other than Acts chapter 2, why do you think God's going to save you? He doesn't mention you. They asked the question. They asked the question specifically. What must we do? What must we do? Acts 2,
And about verse 36, 37, 37. What must we do? Peter told them what must they must do. Be godly sorrowful, repent, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I see you. I see you. I'm wrapping up. Think about it. Think about what we've shared with you this morning. Think about where you are. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ, the churches of Christ, salute you. Getting into the church of Christ, being added to the body, being the adopted child of God, puts you in a position where you have become adopted by God as your Heavenly Father. That's the start. But remain faithful, loyal to God's instructions in His Bible for His children. Being added to the body, that puts you on safe grounds. Being faithful unto death guarantees your eternal home, an eternal home in heaven. Just becoming a member doesn't guarantee that. You must remain faithful to the rest of His instructions. And if you do, you will live forever. Never to get sick. Never to know a difficult day in glory land. Woo! Ain't that good news? Where are you today? Are you a child of God? Do you read about the church that you are supporting in this Bible? Come on in. May no disrespect, but I must preach what's in the Bible. Otherwise, I should stop preaching. The crowd on day of Pentecost, they heard the word of God, Acts chapter 2. They were pricked in their hearts, so they believed the word of God. They repented of their sins. Because that's what they asked Peter what to do. Peter said, repent and be baptized. They acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they were buried in water, baptized. That's in your Bible in Acts chapter 2. Peter never said a thing to that motley crowd that asked them, what must we do? You've read it perhaps, the text, Acts chapter 2. He never said a thing in answer to the question that was asked of him. What shall we do? Peter told them to repent, be godly sorrowful for the sins that's in your life, and be baptized for the remission or for the forgiveness of your sin. You said that, preacher. I just want to make sure you heard it. What are you going to do with the information that you have, not from me, but from the holy book called the Bible? Jesus says, the day you hear my voice, don't be stubborn. That's His love. That's the love of His children. I preach the sermon because I love the Lord and I love preaching to people that they might know the will of God. The decision is yours. If you're already in the body but you walk contrary, come this morning. Renew your covenant. Rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. Ask your brothers and sisters to pray for your forgiveness, that God might restore you into His good favor. May God bless you as we together stand and sing the song that's been selected.
All to Jesus I surrender all. To Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence. daily live. I surrender.
For your time and your attention. In closing, two men went fishing one morning to do some trout fishing. But one man had a strange habit. Every time he would catch a trout, he would pull out a little ruler, measure the trout, and if the trout measured larger than the ruler, he would throw it back into the water. So strangely enough, he kept all the little trouts that he caught, but he threw back all the big ones. His partner watched him most of the day. And as they prepared to leave, he looked at him and said, "I can't hold it any longer. I have never seen a man fish like you in life." He said, "You've kept all the small trout, thrown back the big ones." The man said, "Sure did." He asked, "Why did you do that?" The man said, he said, "Because I only have an 8-inch frying pan." Now think about that. Rather than get a bigger skillet, he was settling for smaller fish. I believe so often that God wants to give us 12-inch blessings. Hello? But all we have is an 8-inch faith. May God bless each and every one of you.
Yeah, we're going to pray for all y'all on that behalf.